That's All Things Considered on Vermont Public Radio. I'm Dave McGowan. Art Hounds has the holiday off, so that gives us time for this extended weekly conversation on the arts with Neil Charnock.
We're heading into the end-of-year film awards season when critics look back and list their favorite movies of the year. We're going to take a local look back at this year in movies with Margot Harrison, an associate editor and film critic at 7 Days newspaper. Welcome.
I'm happy to be here.
Also joining us is Rick Kosonak, also a 7 Days film critic and the founding director of the Burlington Book Festival. Hi, Rick.
How's it going?
Great. I want to take a look at the landscape of film in Vermont. And while it's easier than ever to see the latest blockbuster, Montpelier Savoy Theater seems to be the last art house cinema standing in the state, and even they're kind of struggling to fill seats. Margot Harrison, how do you interpret this scarcity of independent film showings in Vermont?
Well, I should note that Merrill's Roxy in Burlington is also partially an art house. It's sort of a hybrid. And I think we're seeing a national trend where art houses are simply less well attended, especially in more rural areas like ours, than they used to be. You can still get a lot of people in for a film like Before Midnight in New York or L.A., but in Vermont, that film kind of has to gradually build an audience. And often it doesn't stay long enough to do that.
At the same time, you'd think Vermont was Sundance when you look at all the annual film festivals that have popped up everywhere. So I guess the question is, Rick Kosonak, what do you think Vermonters want?
Well, I think it depends to a great degree on the age of the filmgoer we're talking about. You know, back in the day, back in the 70s, 80s, the people that went to see independent films, went to see art films, those people have gotten older, and they don't necessarily get in the car and drive to a rural theater, you know, at 9 or 10 o'clock at night. And I think that accounts for a lot of those empty seats. I know my son, who's 22, he doesn't have to get out of his pajamas, and he can watch any movie from any director in the world sitting on the couch with his laptop, Netflix, you know, what have you. I mean, you can watch anything in the world without leaving home. You can watch it on your phone.
Margot, do you think this packaging of film festivals as events is helping to get people out to see these movies?
Yes, I do. People buy tickets for a film festival because they've heard about it. These are well publicized. And they know that this might be the last chance that they have to see a film like the documentary The Act of Killing, which did not play in any Vermont theaters that I know of. So as a result, you get maybe even a sold-out screening. If you had this film in an art house theater, I think you would have a hard time getting a good audience night after night. And that really is because of the packaging, because people see it as something they don't want to miss.
Vermont does have its share of working filmmakers, many of whom collaborated on the Vermont movie. That was that epic 6-part documentary on the history and character of Vermont. You'll actually find our interview with the Vermont movie coordinator, Nora Jacobson. That's at VPR.net. I'd like to ask you two, though, if there are any other local movies from the past year that we should take note of. Margot Harrison?
Well, this year saw the release of the latest from Jay Craven, Northern Borders. It's another Howard Frank Mosher adaptation starring Bruce Dern. Definitely worth a look. Great performances in that movie. And also a movie that people might not think of as a Vermont movie, but it was made by two Vermont directors, is a documentary called A Band Called Death. It's about African-American brothers in Detroit in the early 70s who formed a punk band before punk really even existed. At the time, their music was just not heard at all, but now it's having a resurgence. And this documentary has played at South by Southwest and festivals all over the world. It's turning up on top 10 lists. And this is a work from two Vermonters and featuring Vermonters, because the brothers in that band actually ended up moving to Vermont later in their lives.
Rick, you know, Margot mentioned the latest from Jay Craven and Northern Borders, and I know you've been a big fan of Bruce Dern in this movie.
Oh yeah. I've loved Bruce Dern's work for years, and it's so heartening when a guy finally gets what he deserves in terms of recognition. And what a coincidence that in the same year he would be making a movie with Jay and then work with Alexander Payne in Nebraska, which, you know, is going to be on everybody's 10 best list, is going to be nominated for Best Picture. He's very likely to be nominated for Best Actor. Talk about 0 to 60 I mean, one minute you're thinking, I'm kind of like at the end of my career, I'm glad I'm still working. And the next thing you know, everybody in Hollywood is saying, you're one of the best actors in the world. Yeah. It's a wonderful thing to see. He deserves it.
Well, let's get to some of your other favorite movies from the past year. And Margo Harrison, you actually write a blog for 7 Days called Movies You May Have Missed. And I'm curious, what are a couple of your favorites that fell through the cracks this year?
Well, one of those would be the documentary that I mentioned, The Act of Killing. It's one of the most disturbing movies that I've seen for years and one of the most thought-provoking. It's sort of a companion piece, if you will, to 12 Years a Slave, which was about the atrocities of slavery. And this documentary is about a modern atrocity and the people who perpetrated it. They're actually interviewed in the film. They're not repentant for what they did, and it raises a lot of questions. It's a fascinating piece of work.
Rick, any little movies that you caught that maybe you'd want to recommend to people that they may have missed?
There's a documentary that moved me a great deal called War on Whistleblowers. I just watched a new documentary the other night on Obama's drone policy. There were several that came out this year between drones, between the NSA, between the problem with the whistleblowers. There are so many. They remind me of all of the documentaries that came out when George Bush, you know, was president. Taxi to the Dark Side. And I mean, we're seeing the same sorts of documentaries about Obama and his policies. I just find that shocking.
Okay, I can't let the two of you go without having our Oscar lightning round. Margo Harrison, favorite performances, and what would you like to see win Best Picture?
Favorite performances, I would have to say Joaquin Phoenix in the movie Her, and Adele Escarmouche, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, from Blue is the Warmest Color. This young actress is just kind of just amazing, really spontaneous in this role. And my favorite movie of the year would have to be also Her, the movie from Spike Jonze about a man who falls in love with his cell phone, whose sexy voice is played by Scarlett Johansson. It sounds ridiculous. The trailer's kind of silly, but it's a surprisingly moving and, I think, profound film.
And the Golden Globes won't let her be nominated, even though they've given Golden Globes for work in an animated production.
Scarlett Johansson playing a phone.
Right. Well, her voice.
Her voice.
Right. The voice performance. They're saying she's not eligible according to their rules. But if you read their rules, there's nothing that says that at all. And in fact, they have given awards to people who did voice work in animated films. It's completely those daffy foreigners, you know.
So, Rick, a fan of Scarlett Johansson. What other?
That's for sure.
What are the favorite performances and movie of the year?
I've completely loved James Gandolfini in Enough Said. I just couldn't possibly have been more amazed. I wouldn't have thought he could give a performance like that. It's a beautiful, beautiful piece of acting. And I'd second Joaquin Phoenix. I wouldn't have in a million years believed he could do the 180 he did from his last few roles to the performance he gives in that movie. It's just a thing of beauty. And Best Picture, I've got kind of a tie, like a lot of people, between Gravity and 12 Years a Slave. It's going to be one of the two of those.
Mm-hmm. Rick Kosonek, a 7 Days film critic, also the founding director of the Burlington Book Festival. We were also joined by Margo Harrison, an associate editor and film critic at 7 Days newspaper. Thanks to both of you for sharing your thoughts.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Art Hounds will return next week. For BPR News, I'm Neil Charnoff.